Listen, plenty of first date still to come. The amount of hot takes left on the show, it's a bit disturbing. We've got someone saying the Patriots are going to make the playoffs. We've got someone saying Trevor Lawrence has a shot at Rookie of the Year over Ja'Marr Chase. And someone says the Knicks aren't a threat in the East. And that is where we are going to start. Don't look at me, Stephen A. Last night at MSG, the stars were out in full effect. Obviously, Spike Lee was there. Dustin Hoffman, Tracy Morgan, Iggy Azalea performing at halftime. Jay Will back here with us. And Jay, I'll start with you. Are the Knicks a threat in the East?
Can I pass the baton on this one? Because I feel like...
Really?
He was on the court last night. He was with Spike Lee.
Yeah.
He was with all the peeps. Yeah. He was Mr.
Here.
Energy.
We here.
So I want to hear his own show by his own squad. Please.
I wanted to hear from you, but it's okay.
Threat. What does threat mean? Like, are we talking about getting to the Eastern Conference Finals? Is that a threat? Is that what we mean?
For me, it's getting out of the first round, but I don't.
Okay. I don't know
what Stephen A's standard is.
Well, first of all, let me be very clear. The Garden last night, you know, it was, let's not forget Iggy Azalea. She was there. Yeah. We want to say we liked seeing her.
Oh,
so we want to throw that out there.
That's just a point.
I mean, that doesn't include everybody. I'm going to do Dustin Hoffman, Michael
anywhere.
J. Fox.
But let me start off with Iggy, though.
I'm just saying, you know, it was good.
If you want to hit me, Iggy,
I didn't say that. But it was good seeing her. Very talented.
What's your favorite song?
Anyway.
Talk about using your platform.
What's your favorite song?
I don't know. I'm distracted. The point is, I'm trying to make
it. Oh, my God.
Let's move on.
Oh, my God.
Let's move on.
You know what I am? I'm a glorified babysitter.
Yes, thank you so much. That's right. Glorified babysitter. That's right. Here's the deal. New York Knicks. Did you see him?
Oh,
see him, Jay.
Let me test it, Jay.
That's right.
Sad, Jay.
You could watch it, Jay.
But did you
watch it with the level of appreciation that you should have? You understand? Let me tell you something right now. I'm going to remind you, Jay. The Brooklyn Nets, well, my favorite. New York Knicks can't touch them. We know they're the superior team in New York. But, you know, last year, they packed the house and, you know, they won games and everybody was screaming in the Barclays Center. And that's what you saw. But the New York Knicks win a first-round game. And you see the streets of New York City packed and crowded and going crazy. It's just a different flavor, okay, when the New York Knicks are relevant, which they are. And let me tell you something right now. I like that man-child that was Julius Randle and how he showed up last night, reminding everybody why he was the most improved player, playing like an all-NBA player. I like the fact that R.J. Barrett clearly has been working on his three-point shot. I like the fact that Mitchell Robinson, who was not playing in the playoffs last year, was injured. He's just 7'1" rim protector and rebounder, okay? Anchoring that defense. Let's not forget that, okay? And by the way, did you see Fournier with that stroke? Did you see that? This ain't Reggie Bullock now. And no disrespect to Reggie Bullock, who's standing still. You get all these shoot. This is Fournier. I mean, did you see the brother just launching threes, taking over overtime? Did you see it? I'm just saying right now. Now, Kemba Walker, we all know he's better than what he played like last night, because I ain't like those two turnovers, because they should have ended it in regulation. All right? Well, all I'm saying to you is this. We know Brooklyn's superior. We know Milwaukee's superior. I'm saying I don't give a damn about everybody else's record. The New York Knicks have the potential to knock off anybody else in the Eastern Conference.
So that means getting to the Eastern Conference semifinals.
That's right. And that's what I'm saying the New York Knicks are going to do. They're going to get to the semifinals.
The Knicks are my version of your Dallas Cowboys. This is going to be great.
What?
Can I put something in your own language so you can understand?
Uh-oh.
You ready?
Go ahead.
The Pittsburgh Steelers have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl than the Knicks getting to the Eastern Conference semifinals.
So that means you're saying that the Steelers have a better chance of winning the Super Bowl than the Knicks have of winning a first-round series?
I don't have the Knicks getting to the Eastern Conference semifinals. The Eastern Conference has gotten exponentially better.
So have the Knicks.
Really?
I think so.
I've heard some of the things you said about Evan Fournier when he was back playing with Boston. I don't know if you were quite as much of a believer in Evan Fournier.
Let me say
this. I wish I had the tape. You know, because I knew we were going to talk.
That is more than fair. That's more than fair.
Drilled holes in Evan Fournier, but now he's part of the Knicks. Oh, did you see him last night?
That's right.
Do you see how much I love him?
I have an explanation.
I got real concerns about Kemba Walker and the knees. I don't know if it's going to hold up, boss. Oh, we got Kemba. He can play so much better. Now, all of a sudden, the knees are going to be fine. So all these things now are starting to come into – now you're going to tell me that a team that overachieved – let's be real about the Knicks, man. And I love the Knicks. I watch the Knicks. We all can settle on the fact that they overachieved last year. But now you're going to tell me that you're going to set them up for even more failure, Stephen A., when the Hawks have gotten better, the Washington Wizards have gotten better, the Bulls have gotten better, the Miami Heat have gotten better. I'm sorry, if they get Victor Oladipo back, you're going to take the Knicks over the Heat? You're going to take them over the Heat and Jimmy Butler and P.J. Tucker and Bam Alabama? Bam, I butchered his name. Out of the bio, as Kendrick Perkins would say. You're going to take him over all those teams?
Let me tell you
just
something.
Because of your love for the Knicks?
Hold on, wait a minute. You're supposed to be my brother.
I am your brother.
This is betrayal. Let me tell you something, man. Let me tell you something right now, okay? You got me on the Fournier thing. I'll say this. I liked it when he was in Orlando. What I said in Boston was that you got Jaylen Brown. You got Jason Tatum. This dude is a third option, ain't cutting it. Because he can't fit in. That's what I said now. Quote me accurately. Okay. And that's what I said.
Okay.
Now, in New York, that ain't necessarily
the
case.
Twist.
Hold on. That's not necessarily the case.
It's a dramatic
excuse
twist.
Me. It's excuse
so,
me.
It's so
excuse
hard
me.
For me to sit
excuse
through
me.
This again.
Let me tell you
second time
we look at
this today.
And by the way, I see I don't want Julius Randle to be sensitive. And this beautiful kid was at the courtside last night. I love seeing him. I mean, I love this kid. Oh, he's so adorable. Here's the deal. It's a feel good moment. Okay? Let me tell you something right now.
I don't
now.
Even know who you are.
Julius Randle is not a number one option to me. I will tell you this. The brother can play, though, and I think he's big time. But what he has to do, he has to do what he did last night. Fournier, you guys, gets hot, feed him. You understand what I'm saying? This is what Julius Randle is supposed to be doing. Catch, shoot, catch, attack, catch, pass. One of the three. No dribbling one-on-one trying to break people down. That's not your game. Don't do that. And let me tell you something right now. You see the combination. Don't think about Kemba Walker. It's the combination of Kemba Walker with Derrick Rose.
I love Derrick Rose.
I love
I'm
him
with
both.
You.
And so when I'm thinking about that, the New York Knicks, am I going to sit up there? I can tell you right now five teams that should finish ahead of the New York Knicks.
Go ahead, tell me those
teams. But I think, well, it's going to be
Miami, Atlanta, Boston, Chicago.
Philly. Boston.
I'm not sure about Chicago.
Indiana.
I'm not sure. No.
What?
Indiana? No.
I don't know. That's what Caesars thinks.
No. They ain't finishing ahead of the Knicks. Listen, I got to see DeRozan and LaVine play together. I know I got no questions about them as an individual talent. I got to see them play together.
That's
all I'm saying to you, can the Knicks sneak?
He's swimming hard
now. Listen, can the Knicks sneak? I will remind you, we didn't see them being the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference last year. But they were.
I can't remind you also that there was.
Could they be a top five seed this year? They could.
I think they could. If we're being realistic, I think they should be in between the 6-8 range.
Realistic. But what I'm saying is,
because last year they overachieved. There were so many injuries
last year. So you overachieved last year, right?
Yes.
So, okay, now you fall back down to earth a little bit. You get a fifth seed. What's wrong with that? New York Knicks improved too. And then you could win a first round series. The New York Knicks.
Is he swimming
you can't
or drowning?
You can't beat Milwaukee.
Drowning.
You can't beat Brooklyn.
Can you tread
but you
water?
You can take anybody else. You can steal it.
What kind of suit are you wearing right now?
Well, this is just.
It looks nice.
This is a time for a blazer.
Can we mark this down? Today is
October 21st. A fifth seed, the Knicks.
I would like to bet you. I'll bet you one of your fitted nice suits that you have on right now. I will bring in cash on First Take.
I don't need cash. Your credit card works.
Credit works fine,
too. Your credit works.
I can wire it, whatever you want to do.
Your credit card works.
Okay? I will buy you and I will get you fitted for another beautiful suit. And you can do the same for me because I don't see them going to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Do you have a deal? Are we going to shake on this?
Damn it.
We going to mark this down. I hope that's
you're going to pay for that
suit.
You're going to pay for that. You're going to pay for that, okay? I'm telling you that right now.
Cash.
You keep sleeping on my Knicks
like
all you want to. You keep sleeping. New York, stand up.
I'm not sleeping on them.
Listen.
I'm not sleeping on them. They're coming.
Listen,
they came a long
you
way, S.A.
You done guaranteed they coming out of the first round. Because these Knicks ain't going to let me down. They're not going to let me down.
Okay.
They're going to get out of the first round. You done started something.
I just want you to know.
You done started something.
I just want you to know.
You done started something.
With the level of intensity they play with, I just want to see it sustained now because typically teams that play with that become somewhat injury prone down the stretch.
Well, it depends. It ranges from about 4,000 to 7,000.
Okay.
4,000 to 7,000.
Okay. So you could throw in a pair of nice designer female shoes.
Well, you know, I got some.
Are you on my side here? Wait, no, no, no. Molly takes a side. Molly, are you on my side or are you on this side?
Not a five seed.
Here's somebody that will see you every day.
Out of first round. I'm getting out of first round. That's the bet.
Mom, it ain't a top. This is good stock.
Hold on. Move out the way.
Move out the way. Yo, put the camera on me. Right now.
See, he can do that.
Right now. Right here.
That's why.
Right here.
I flooded up.
Yo, Julius Randle. Yo, Kemba Walker. D. Rose. Mitchell Robinson. R.J. Barrett. Fournier. All of y'all. All of you. World Wide West. Tom Thibodeau, Scott Perry, Leon Rose. You hear these? Look, we getting out the first round. New York Knicks are going to win a first round series. New York, stand up. Spike. You see them, Spike? You see how they trying to come at us? We ain't worried about it. Let me tell you something right now. New York Knicks are coming. I'm just trying to tell
you
y'all right
you
now.
When
y'all
the bottom falls out, I'm going to be here to keep
listen,
you.
Listen,
I'm
going to
bring you a pacifier.
Julius Randle. The New York Knicks crew. Right. They ain't letting me down.
Okay. Excuse me. Have you been hanging out with Adam Gase? Because you are on one
today. No.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It's a battle in the AFC North. The first place Ravens play the second place Bengals this weekend. I can't wait for this game. Lamar Jackson and crew blew out an impressive Chargers team last week and continue to keep getting the job done despite all the injuries they had coming into the season. Stephen A., you had some criticism for the former MVP on Monday. I'd like to revisit that, sir.
Okay. What do I always say about the quarterback spot, Molly?
The court?
It's about accuracy. Mm. It's about accuracy. And by the way, when it counts. Lamar Jackson has played in 4 playoff games.
Okay.
3 of them, he's failed to reach 60% completion percentage mm-hmm. with his passes. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson has been dominant in the regular season. When we start talking about you and we use words like greatness and what have you, what solidifies that? It's what you do when it counts.
Okay. I'm very interested to have this conversation with you, Dan. Do you think the Lamar criticism is fair?
No, it never has been. It hasn't been since he was leaving Louisville. I'm going to put the context of what he is doing, at least do my best to put it into context. They are the number one seed in the AFC while being the most shorthanded team in football. Mm. They have 17 guys on IR. 17. That leads the NFL. Recently, the second most, or the team that had the second most on IR were the Detroit Lions. They're 0-6. The Ravens are 5-1. Lamar Jackson leads the NFL in rushing and yards per carry, is on pace for 4,800 yards passing. If you look at the teams they've played, just again, context. Week 1, they scored 33 against the Raiders. No team has scored 33 against the Raiders. They scored 31 against the Colts. No team has scored 31 against the Colts. They scored 34 against the Chargers. That's the second most anybody has scored against the Chargers this year. Again, with the most shorthanded roster in the NFL. Lamar's the best player in the NFL right now. Now, if we're going to talk about having to do it in the big moments, we also have to put into context, Stephen A., it's his 4th season. He hasn't been playing for 10 or 12 years. He hasn't had multiple opportunities in the playoffs to go and change a narrative. 2 of those games were his rookie year. So the criticism from Lamar, and I know Mina talked about this early in the week, constantly changes of what he can't. Instead of focusing on what he is doing in comparison to what no one else in the NFL can do.
Let's make sure that we do something when we're on this show, Dan Orlovsky. Let's make sure that we in no way imitate trolls on social media.
Sure.
And here's what I mean by that. Let's make sure we quote folks accurately. I'm not talking about you personally, but let's make sure we quote folks accurately and depict and contextualize what we say. No one watching football would question the greatness of Lamar Jackson. I never did that. I said that Lamar Jackson's phenomenal. I said that Lamar Jackson's box office. I even went so far to say is Josh Allen's got 6 years, $258 million. Shoot, Lamar Jackson deserves more. Because not only is he producing the way that Josh Allen has produced, but he's also box office. Whereas people want to go to football games to tailgate and socialize, get drunk, have a party type atmosphere before you actually go and watch the damn football game. You literally go to a stadium to see this brother perform.
I agree.
Because that's how electrifying Lamar Jackson is. We understand that. Where my critique, more so than criticism, a critique of him comes into play is that, okay, your real medal is established in the postseason. No matter how good or how great you are, we are going to look for what you do in the postseason to cement whatever legacy you may have. Now, he's got plenty of time to do it because he's in his fourth year, just his fourth year in the league. He's 24 years old, okay? And I get all of that. But I remember when Peyton Manning came out of Tennessee, clearly as the number one overall pick, future Hall of Famer, people had ordained him the next dude. And you know, we all know this. And until he beat Tom Brady, we kept saying, he doesn't have a ring. There's no championship to show for it. Can he get past Tom Brady? Which was why it meant so much in that AFC championship game when Indianapolis beat New England. It wasn't just that they won. It was that they beat New England. And Peyton Manning led the comeback because they were in a deficit, in a hole during that AFC championship game. And then ultimately he brought them back. They took the lead. Then Tom Brady got intercepted and that ended that. And right. The Indianapolis Colts went on to beat the Chicago Bears in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We got all of that, right?
Norman Jackson, yep.
He had to do it. What I'm saying about Lamar Jackson is he's got to do it. And the reason why I point to him throwing the football is not because of what we see in the regular season. It's because of what we've seen in the postseason. The last time we saw him in the postseason, yes, he had beat Tennessee, registering his first victory in three playoff seasons, okay? But then the very next game, he scored just 3 points in a loss against Buffalo. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, as great as he is, he's 24. You know who's 25 years of age, Dan? Josh Allen. You know who's 26 years of age? Patrick Mahomes. By the way, both of them are in the same conference. So as a result, they are literal roadblocks to the success and ascension that we hope for from Lamar Jackson. So all I'm saying is, look at that and tell me that I don't have a right to say I need to see this come postseason, because I know Patrick Mahomes is going to be waiting, and I suspect Josh Allen will be too. After all, last time we saw them, they were the two dudes in the AFC championship game. And by the way, both of them have victories over Lamar Jackson in the postseason, not vice versa. So let's remember that and then ask ourselves, is it really a criticism or is it a critique highlighting actual facts? Well, I would tell you it's the latter.
Well, I would say the last time we saw Patrick and Lamar on the field, Lamar was the better player this year, regular season. And that's not part of your argument. I would also say that, you know, for Lamar to go to the playoffs with this team this year and to go knock off, say, a Kansas City in Buffalo is going to be one of the greatest accomplishments in the history of the NFL. If those teams stay as healthy as they are right now and the Ravens try to hang on with their health, it will be a mountain to climb that is almost unexpected. So I'm not saying that it's unfair that you say he's got to go into the playoffs and beat those guys, but it's also unfair to think that it's just a Lamar thing because of the way his roster, they have the most injured reserve players in the NFL, 7 starters.
Okay.
Ravens winning this?
I can agree with that.
Dan, Ravens winning this?
Winning this weekend?
Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow, Bengals.
Yes.
Joe Burrow. They're no joke, Cincinnati.
I don't care. They're not winning in Buffalo.
Are you, Dan?
Cincinnati's good. I'm excited to see Ja'Marr Chase versus Marlon Humphrey. This will be a good football game. But it's tough for me to go against Lamar right now.
Okay.
It's going to be tough, but I got the Ravens winning at home.
I agree.
All right. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. 2-4 Patriots are looking to avoid their second straight 2-5 start after not having a losing record through 7 games since 2002. And they have a great chance to do so against the Jets on Sunday. New England has won 11 straight meetings against New York, the longest win streak for either team in the history of their rivalry. Look who joins us, someone that knows a thing or two about New England.
Let me say something real quick. First of all, Stephen A. is on one today. Bruh. The Knicks get one win. Get one win to open up the season, and he want to act a damn fool today.
We here.
What is going on?
Look. Just because. Listen. I told y'all first. And then, just so you know, I'm Molly. Just so you know, Molly, watch your mouth, Miss UConn. Watch it.
Y'all wanna, we're here. I'm supporting you and Dan.
Y'all want a game for the first time in a decade. Let's be quiet. Here's the deal, y'all.
I checked out what Winston-Salem State's football record was this year and how them games going, so you could be quiet on that. We'll keep that between us.
I love you, Dan. Get him.
He's not supposed to know that.
All right, let me get back. I'll deal with you later, Dan. Let me get back to Damian or something, all right? Look, man, Knicks first, New York always. That's my philosophy when it comes to basketball. Knicks first, New York always. So if the Knicks go down, I'm going to be rooting for Brooklyn, but only after the Knicks go down. And here's the bottom line. We here, bro. We here, okay? We here. You should appreciate that, Mr. Islander. You know, Damien's a hockey fan.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
When he's not playing the piano, trying to be Mozart. Here? All right, that's what he's trying to do.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not picking up what you're putting down.
That's what he's doing.
Let's go, man. I'm holding things back.
I think you are, Molly. I think you are.
Dan. Yeah. Patriots are currently in second place behind the Bills. Can they still make the playoffs?
Absolutely. This Patriots team is 3 snaps away from being 5-1. If you go back to week 1, they're going in for a game-winning score and Damian Harris fumbles the football. They're going to win that game without it. I've seen Stephen A.'s top 5 list. And I know 2 teams that are in there are the Dallas Cowboys and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Patriots are 2 snaps away from beating both of those teams.
But we're going to live in
a world where those are top 5 teams. Then we got to live in a world where the Patriots are better than their 2. I'm not one that subscribes to the you are what your record are. We're too early in the season to believe in that. I think that they're 3 snaps away from being 5-1, 2 realistic snaps away from being a 4-2 football team. I think their defense is playing really good. They're giving up like 20, 21 points a game. They're challenging offenses. If their offense, led by Mac Jones, continues to get better, and really, D. Wood, you know this, focuses on playing better football in the red zone. They're not scoring touchdowns right now. If they get one possession better in the red zone, this team can go make a run. I think their season comes down to week 9, week 10, and week 11. And that stretch, they play the Chargers, they play the Panthers, and they play the Cleveland Browns. If they find a way to win 2 out of the 3 of that stretch, they are going to make the playoffs. I think the Patriots are a dark horse in the AFC.
Let me tell you why I totally disagree with you. I don't believe it's going to happen. Listen, they got the Jets, but then they got road games, like you said, against the Chargers and Panthers. Mm-hmm. They got 2 games against Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They got a game at Indy, okay? And I think whether it's the Jets or Miami, somebody at least steals one game from them. I got at least 4 more losses coming the Patriots' way. So you're talking about a best-case scenario in my mind with them at 9-8.
And when I think about the rest of the AFC, I think about Buffalo. Right. I think about, obviously, the entire AFC North. I think about Tennessee in the South. I think about not just Kansas City, but the Raiders in the West. I don't see it. I really don't see it.
Well, listen, you know, Dan talks about a couple plays here and their record be different. Dan, they should have lost to the Houston Texans on the road in Houston. Davis Mills was outstanding going up against that Patriots defense. No. And that leads me to this. That Patriots defense, that side of the ball, which is supposed to be a strength, has not lived up to the billing for the Patriots this year. Okay, you got Mac Jones, a rookie, who, in my opinion, may be the one bright spot of the Patriots right now. Their offensive line is not playing well. They can't protect the quarterback. We saw that against the Dallas Cowboys. We've seen that against the New Orleans Saints. Their defense, the side of the ball that we thought coming in would be lauded with Dante Hightower, you know, coming back off, you know, off of last year, the whole COVID situation. Matt Judon coming over from the Baltimore Ravens, their secondary. That Patriots defense got absolutely torched by the Dallas Cowboys. If it wasn't for a couple turnovers in the red zone by the Cowboys, that score would have been even worse. So, listen, Mac Jones, I think the Patriots need to open it up more for Mac Jones, because I think Mac Jones can handle that. I think Josh McDaniels has been doing an outstanding job with Mac Jones. But from what I'm seeing from the Patriots defense and their offensive line, I got serious questions about the Patriots right now.
What, do you think they can make the playoffs or not? That's the question.
Only because there's seven teams in the postseason this year. I think that's the only reason I consider the Patriots having a shot to make it. Other than that, no.
All right, so let me touch the Cowboys game. And you notice, Bill does not care about yards. You can go up and down the field on him. He wants to play good red zone defense and make you kick field goals. So that kind of was the philosophy of the game against Dallas. You're not going to stop Dallas. They tried to play situational football in the red zone really good. They did. Dallas is a very good football team. The Houston game was 14-0 like that because, you know, on a 3rd-and-2, there was a jump ball touchdown by Davis Mills and a flea flicker touchdown. That defense played really good the last three quarters of that football game. So I don't think that the Houston game was as close after those kind of two situational plays than the score led it on to be. I think if that Josh McDaniels is really starting to figure out what this offense is under Mac Jones, and if Mac Jones really played one bad game this year against the New Orleans Saints, if Mac Jones continues to play better, I agree with the offensive line. They got to get healthy. If they get a little bit healthier, I also think they're starting to use their tight ends the way that we expected them to. This is a team, again, week 9, week 10, week 11. That is the stretch. They go 2-for-3, they are going to get in the playoffs in New England.
I can't say it. Like I said, I think I agree with Damian. If you're talking about a seventh team, that's the only reason they have a shot. They're certainly nowhere near one of the top six teams in the AFC. And I just look at them right now and some of the struggles that they've had. I understand that they've played competitive football, but there have been too many moments at times where they've shown some of their youth having a rookie at the quarterback position, being bereft of elite talent at the wideout spot. I'm just looking at them from the standpoint that offensively, I just don't have that level of belief in them when I scour the AFC conference right now. I'm just looking at them right now. I got Tennessee. I got Buffalo. I'm looking at Baltimore, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland. Okay? I'm just looking at all of that, and I'm looking at the Chargers and the Raiders.
So I'm just looking at all of them. You're taking Cincinnati and the Pittsburgh Steelers over the Patriots?
I'm saying to you that based on what I'm seeing, yes. Based on what I'm seeing, yes.
Nope. Okay.
Nope.
Forget the Jets this weekend. The real litmus test is going to be October 31st. That's when the Chargers head to Foxborough.
I just say we eliminate one of them. I gave you 8 teams.
Damian, great to see you, sir. Go Islanders.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at lq.com.
NBA quick take, Stephen A., let's go. LaMelo Ball went off. 31 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, and a comeback win versus the Pacers. What is the ceiling for LaMelo Ball?
The ceiling is the roof. I'm only playing Michael Jordan. I'm only playing. Bottom line is LaMelo Ball is a special, special talent, and his confidence is gaining. This dude could end up being one of the best point guards in the game.
By the way, what did you think of this fashion police? LaMelo's suit matching his Lambo.
Let me tell you something right now. Everything is fly until you get down to his shoes. If you're going to do it, do it right from head to toe. The car is slamming, no doubt about it. The jacket is big time. The outfit, the color to match with that, I understand you got on a black shirt. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But you got to step up your shoe game when you rocking like that. That's all I'm saying.
Stephen A., this is a generational gap. I feel it. What you want him to have on?
Excuse me.
What kind of shoes?
I've got an abundance of ideas.
I know, but that's in right now. I don't know what they are. I know they cost a lot of money.
Not doofy looking sneakers.
No, I'm telling you. That's what the young folks are
wearing. No, Monica, no.
Okay, all right.
No.
I'm telling you.
No. I need better than that when you rocking that car
with that outfit. You know I want to comment, but it's quick takes. I can't. Stephen A., Ja Morant scored 37 points last night in the win against the Cavs. What are your expectations for Ja year three?
I think that they could potentially get out of the first round. I believe in this kid. He is a star. I'm disgusted, and I could be wrong, but I'm disgusted when I looked in the audience and I didn't see the seats in Memphis filled to capacity. He deserves better than that. That city of Memphis, Tennessee, you have a star that's worth coming to the game and walking through the turnstiles for. Support that brother and that team.
How about we can actually go to games again? Exciting. Yeah. Zach LaVine led the new-look Bulls in a dub last night, scoring 34. Stephen A., are these Bulls different than last year's Bulls?
They are different because him and DeMar DeRozan with obviously Lonzo Ball, they got and Vucevic, they got a good team, and I get all of that. I just look at Zach LaVine, and I think that he is a star. He's a Skywalker, and I just wish so desperately he was a New York Knick, but he's not.
And that voice you heard is the great Monica McNutt. Great to have you with us. And now I am coming to you here. Stephen A.'s Knicks getting it done in double overtime. They're beating the Celtics. Tell me this. Who do you think is going to make more noise in the East, the Knicks, the Bulls, or the Seas?
Molly, before I answer this, I want Stephen A. to understand that this answer does not mean that the other teams cannot have success. But in terms of more noise, and you know I'm a part of the pre- and post-game show with the Knicks, so I'm watching this team closely. More noise, expectations, exceeding expectations, I got to go with the Chicago Bulls. I know. Did you hear my preface, though?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Listen,
go ahead.
There is the Knicks are in a beautiful position. I think that they are building on what we saw from last year, but when you look at the addition of Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier, the core has shifted just a bit, and those are two guys who do not necessarily hang their hat on the defensive end of the ball, which was their calling card last year as they look to build upon last year's success. When I look at the Chicago team, for some reason, I feel that DeMar DeRozan does not get the credit that he still deserves. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's a four-time All-Star, two-time NBA guy, 20 points, 4 assists, 5 rebounds, or something around those around that range in terms of rebounds and assists. Very productive. You add Vucevic, who I love some three-point shooting, a guy that has shot 38% or better in the last 3 seasons, including notching over 40% from behind the arc. Zach LaVine continues to take the next step, and I just think the addition of Lonzo Ball as a distributor and facilitator, someone who lavishes in the role of getting everybody else going, but it still has to be respected as an offensive player in his own right. And I kind of think this is a little bit of a renaissance-ish for Billy Donovan when we think of the early success that he had with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I just think that that's the team that we're going to be like, oh, look, the Bulls trying to keep up with the Chicago Sky, the champions in the WNBA.
Well, they ain't going to pull that off.
Of course not.
Because Candace Parker, major, major props to you, my sister. Mm-hmm. Congratulations with your great self. Okay, and Quigley is no joke. I can't forget about that. I really loved watching that
game before.
That it was really fun. I got to watch my tone because I know who I'm talking to, Molly. Let me tell you something about Miss Monica. Listen, let me tell you something about Monica, right? This girl knows what she's talking about.
Of course.
And she does a phenomenal job pregame, postgame. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you, my friend.
Keep up the great work. But we're going to disagree here.
Okay.
Let me tell you something right now, okay? You got to take depth into consideration. We ain't going to throw any shade on DeMar DeRozan. Here's the knock against DeMar DeRozan. Two things. Mm-hmm. Number one, he's not a great three-point shooter.
This is true.
And number two, he wasn't Kawhi Leonard.
Mm-hmm. If you really think about it, that's the only thing to say about DeMar DeRozan. When he was in Toronto, they were winning 58, 59 games a year. He was their off guard playing alongside Kyle Lowry. He's a model citizen. He's a great player. Mm-hmm. He can put up buckets. He averaged better than 20 a game while he was there. The brother was an all-star. He's an impressive brother who deserves far more respect than we give him.
Uh-huh.
No problem there.
Okay.
And I love me some Zach LaVine. I'm a huge Zach LaVine fan. Lonzo needs to be more assertive and aggressive, and I think his brother being in the NBA, showing out the way that he does, has forced Lonzo to become a bit more aggressive, and I noticed that. Okay? I got two issues with Chicago.
Talk to me.
DeRozan and LaVine, can they play together? Because individually, they're big time.
Mm-hmm.
My issue is they're the same. And so when I look at them and I say, okay, can they do it? Neither is really a three, mm-hmm. even though you could play small ball in the NBA now. But neither is really a three. They're both legitimately twos. And although their game is somewhat different at the same time, can they play together? I need to see it to believe it.
Okay.
Number two.
I'm listening.
Where's the depth? You going to give me Alex Caruso? Mm-hmm. Is that what you're going to give me? Nope. They ain't going to cut it.
Okay.
They ain't going to cut it.
Uh-huh.
When we look at the Chicago Bulls, we're thinking about DeRozan, LaVine, Vucevic, and Lonzo Ball. That's what we're looking at. Everything else is a question mark. Are they going to make the playoffs? I believe so. Are they going home in the first round? You're damn right they are. They ain't going to meet the Knicks because neither of them are going to be a top four seed, so they'll be playing somebody else, and the Bulls are going to go home early, okay? But we're going to give them their respect because LaVine and DeMar DeRozan can ball, and Vucevic can ball, and Lonzo Ball can ball. Mm-hmm. I know this. All I'm saying to you is when I look at them and I think about an 82-game season, and I think about the monsters in the Eastern Conference, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Miami, can't ignore Atlanta and Philly, and, of course, the Knicks. And you look at Thibodeau and how he has these guys playing defensively. New York Knicks, number one defense in the NBA, against the field, against three-point shooting. Number one, okay? Number one in points allowed, and they coming back. They ain't going to slide, Monica. They
going to
slide.
Stephen
I'm
A.
just telling you
okay.
right now. It's the Knicks.
Listen.
It's the Knicks.
Listen, I am watching the Knicks closely. I expect a season in which they build upon last year. However, you talking about them defensive numbers? Oh, baby, get ready for the slide. Now, where you will see some improvement is their ability to score the basketball. What's that child? Evan Fournier is pure. Is three it,
wasn't
threes.
It beautiful?
Oh,
wasn't,
my
wasn't,
God.
Did you see him?
On.
Did you see him?
However.
It was so special.
However.
It was nice.
However, and this is a tough cover for anybody in the league, so no disrespect to Evan Fournier. However,
okay.
lit up by Jaylen Brown, and prior to, I believe, second quarter.
I can't believe
listen
you're
to me.
That.
Second quarter, back-to-back steals, did come up with a big-time play. Second overtime, excuse me, came up with a big-time play. However, if the identity of this squad was to hang their hat on defense, do I think R.J. Barrett will take the next step defensively? Yes. But for as much time as Fournier is going to stay on the floor, he's going to have to lock up on somebody.
Didn't I tell you? Just see how she talks? Did you see it? You see it, Molly? You see? She's so forceful.
She's so nice to you. You know what I love about you, honestly, I want to say, is we've only met a couple times. Great analysis, but you have such great energy.
Thank you.
You really do.
Thanks, Molly.
She really does.
Thanks, Molly.
And even how she handed it to you, she did it so nicely.
First of all.
I need to go to break.
First of all. No, we're not going to.
You hear Sam
Tucci. I know Monica is fantastic. You didn't have to add that before I gave my take. Okay, I know this. All right?
Monica, come back soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Molly. Thank you.
I'm going to say to you
What's
this.
Up?
I get where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But how dare you bring up Jaylen Brown? He'll do that to anybody.
I said it's a tough cover.
All right then. Everybody ain't Jaylen Brown.
Okay.
Everybody ain't Jaylen Brown.
What about the play that sent the game into overtime?
I know that. I didn't like that.
All right.
The segment ended like 3 minutes
ago. We're done. Sorry.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right. According to our friends at Caesars, Ja'Marr Chase is a favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Chase is the second player to record 500 yards and five touchdowns in their first six NFL games in the Super Bowl era. The first to do it, that would be Randy Moss. He would be the first wide receiver to win the award since Odell Beckham Jr. in 2014. Dan back here with us. Then there is also, you're seeing the odds, Trevor Lawrence there coming in third. Dan, tell me this. Do you think Lawrence can actually win Rookie of the Year?
Oh, absolutely. If he continues to play the way he has the last 3 weeks, absolutely. Now, Ja'Marr Chase sits at the top of that list right now, but I think it's a three-man race with Mac Jones and Trevor Lawrence being into that conversation. And again, if Trevor Lawrence, I mean, the last three games, he's got a passer rating over 90. He's definitely settled in. He is pushing the ball downfield, been crazy aggressive. He's like 270 yards a game passing. If he continues to play at this level, this is going to be an incredibly close race. And that's saying a lot because Ja'Marr has been spectacular. And again, I think Mac Jones is going to be into that conversation as well. I thought he would win it before the season, but Trevor Lawrence is playing fantastic football. I would say over the last 3 weeks, Trevor Lawrence has been a top third quarterback in the NFL. And I'm not a person who says, oh, this team's not winning games, blah, blah, blah. The one game that their defense gave up less than 23 points, the Jacksonville Jaguars won the football game. I think Trevor Lawrence can go win the Offensive Rookie of the Year, absolutely.
Well, listen, I'm not disagreeing with your position, Dan, other than to say this. You can't go 1-15 and win no Rookie of the Year. I can tell you that much. That ain't gonna happen. I mean, you got to win some games. Now, that doesn't mean you even have to be a 500 team, but you can't stink up the joint week after week after week as a team and get recognized for your offensive prowess. The NFL just isn't going to work that way. We know that the Jacksonville Jaguars and their struggles, although I think they've been competitive in quite a few games. I watched a game against Arizona, for example. Right. They were competitive in that game. I saw them against Cincinnati. They were competitive against Cincinnati. Obviously, they beat Jacksonville, okay, and they got romped by Tennessee. We get all of that. But what I'm saying to you is that I love, you know, listen, I'm a huge fan of Trevor Lawrence. I think he's got what it takes. I think he's the goods, and I think he's only going to get better and better. But you can't be 1-15 or be like on another 15 to 20 game losing streak, and you're going to get recognized for that, especially with the way Ja'Marr Chase is balling. Cincinnati is 4-2 right now, in large part because of the chemistry. And I applaud Cincinnati for this, because Devontae Smith coming out of Alabama was certainly worth consideration if you were going to take a wideout. But what happened was is that Cincinnati said, Joe Burrow is our quarterback. And this brother right here, he was throwing the football to at LSU. And we see the chemistry that they already have. And that's played a huge role in Cincinnati having this level of success this early, being 4-2. So I would say to me, I think Ja'Marr Chase got him by a distance because he's balling. That's a big reason why Cincinnati is winning, and Cincinnati is winning games, and Jacksonville is not necessarily doing so. And that's why I would say it's a long shot for Trevor Lawrence.
I don't totally disagree with the Ja'Marr Chase thing. I think Ja'Marr Chase, understanding he's benefiting from having a guy like Joe Burrow. You know, Trevor Lawrence does not have a comparable receiver in relation to Joe Burrow. If he continues to play the way he is playing, Trevor Lawrence, they will not go 1-16. They will win way more than one games. And the only thing I would say is this. This organization, Jacksonville, has won more than six games in a season once since 2010. I mean,
that's when they went to the AFC Championship game.
Correct. He's trying to erase a decade of really bad football.
I'm not blaming him.
I wanted to show Dan's hand again, but Dan just kept talking.
Don't do that.
I'm ruining it for you guys. Don't understand. My hand is normal here. Wow,
no,
golly, that's
that
bad.
Is your hand. That is what we saw on television, dangling with long fingernails.
We got to save that for Halloween. We got to save that for Halloween.
It is Halloween. Yeah. Goodbye.